Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That was Anita Baker. You bring me joy. Hi, everybody. Hope Friday is good for you. Today, the weather here was so beautiful. I did get a chance to get out in it because it wasn't hot and it wasn't humid. It was just a beautiful, beautiful day. And I hope everybody else everywhere had a beautiful day today. We have a very special guest this evening. I'm going to get right to her when I bring my co-host in. Rhea?
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic. And yourself?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, how was the weather there today?
Well, we've had a break all week long. We've been blessed.
Oh,
we've
that's...
We've had a break all out. Well, we've had a break since August 3rd. It rained August 3rd, and that heat, because we had that suffocating heat. And August 3rd, it rained, and after it, no, it didn't rain, it cooled. That was the first cool day, and it's been pleasant every day since then.
Wow.
So we've been blessed. We're supposed to get rain all day tomorrow, and I think we're supposed to have it some on Monday, and I mean some on Sunday, and then Monday the heat's supposed to be back.
Oh, goodness gracious. They were speaking of that here. They're saying, is this going to last all weekend? But, you know, we're still in the summer, so we can expect that. But it was definitely very good that we did get a break, because it was just, oh, my goodness, it was just horrible, all that heat, you know, and people
it was
losing their electricity, not getting, you know, having no air. And, you know, so it was a blessing that that, you know, we did get that break, because we definitely needed it. You know, God is good. Definitely
The third was my daughter's birthday. That's the reason I remember what day it was. And she
happy birthday to your daughter. Happy belated birthday.
I'll tell her. But she always said, you know, they talk about how Mother Nature is a bee, but she likes me.
She likes the heat?
No, she said, people talk about how Mother Nature is a bee, but she likes me.
Oh, okay.
So she made it cool on my special day.
Oh, my goodness.
She says that all the time. She said it all that day and has said it several times since then whenever people mention the weather. Yeah, we got a break because of me.
Wow. Well, it was a good one. Believe that, because, oh, my goodness. But, you know, we still have a few more days to go, couple of months or whatever, before we get out of this heat wave, so to speak. But, you know, nonetheless, I'm still enjoying it, because we could be having a lot worse, you know, like the brush fires and mudslides and tornadoes and all that crazy stuff.
Well, look how long Texas had their heat.
Wow.
They got a break today. Or was it yesterday? I think it was today. They got their first break in 48 days, somewhere up in there. I'm like, I could not imagine it. They were saying how the thermometer was reading like 101, but you know they got that dry heat anyway, which is like you walk out in the heat and it literally takes your breath away. But then they were saying like
breathe.
The people who work on the tarmac, like for the airports and stuff, the average temperature out there was like 130.
See, I would melt right into the ground. I would just be a big old chocolate drop.
I was like, wow. And this one guy said how it interferes with your sleep, because during the night you have to drink water, because being out there in that heat like that, if they didn't drink the water overnight, there's no way they could get enough in their system. And I'm sitting here like, oh, my God, this has to be horrible working in that kind of weather.
Oh, no doubt, because it's just stagnant, you know, not being able to, you know, breathe. And well, we had a good day today, so we have, you know, like I said, a very special guest. I'm going to give a little bit of her bio here. For as long as she can remember, she's been a writer. It started in elementary school when her first shero was Anne Francis, a.k.a. Honey West. Honey was a fashionable woman agent who could really kick some serious male butt. Not that as a child she was a male basher, but Anne Francis was the first woman she ever saw who could really fight until she saw Emma Peel of the Avengers. I used to like the Avengers, too. Not having a recorder, she began writing her own version of the episodes and sharing them with her friends. Later, she began to write her own stories from a very vivid mind, and that's how it all started, the romance between the pen, paper, and so imagery. By the time she reached high school, she was writing poetry to unite young lovers, giving them a new voice, a spoken word for their hearts. Fast forwarding to 2003, her family moved to Atlanta, Georgia. A deep desire in her heart was to enter the world of writing by having a new book of poetry published that she was working on. With nothing but a dream, a nudge from her heavenly father, and $23 in her pockets, it finally began. But never like she would have ever dreamed. In the latter part of 2008, she had the honor of meeting her alter ego, So Imagery. So without further ado, we're going to bring on So Imagery. So Imagery, are you there? Hello? Okay. Well, this is something. She may not even be here yet. I don't know. Let's see if this is her here. So, Imagery, are you there?
Oh, hello?
Hello? Is this So Imagery?
Hello? Yes. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
Wow, I'm glad to have you here. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about yourself coming up and what you did as a child and what got you into writing exactly?
Well, I had a real vivid imagination as a child, and I love movies. I love to read. And I realized at a very young age that your imagination can take you anywhere in the world that you wanted to go. And I enjoyed writing some of those things down so that I could remember them later. And that kind of started things off pretty good.
So how old were you at that particular time?
Oh, wow. When I first started writing, I was in elementary school, maybe about the third or fourth grade. So it's been a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is your first novel, The Scenario. Am I correct?
That's right.
Okay, so your first was a book of poetry, and then you did a CD?
Well, I did a children's book before the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some articles published in some different newspapers and anthologies and, you know, different things like that. But the CD came first, and that kind of really started the romance thing going. And then when I met my co-author, the Ebony Poet, that's when the scenario came about.
So you guys collaborated on that?
Yes, it was originally called The Concert, and it wasn't intended to be a book. It was just like a little scenario tag thing that we had going on. And it was moving so well that it became a book.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your CD.
Okay. That was actually an accident as well. I wanted to I have this entertainer that I really, really, really love her music. And I was thinking that maybe I could write some lyrics and present them to her, and she could maybe add them to a new CD. So I put them on a cassette tape, and I presented it to my son, and he said, "Mom, nobody does cassette tapes anymore." And so his name was Ben, and he got with his partner, Sarah Gibson, and they decided to put music to the poetry to make it more appealing for this particular artist. And the more we did, the better it sounded. And I said, well, wow, we have a pretty nice collection ourselves. So we decided to go ahead and make our own CD, and it was entitled Sweet Surrender.
Oh, okay.
And at that time I was known as The Quiet Storm, but I had to change that for obvious reasons.
Right. I've heard there are quite a few of the Quiet Storms out there. So who is this artist that you had such a strong feeling for?
Anita Baker. And I love the opening song. I was like, wow.
Wow.
And I actually had the privilege of meeting her a few times. So,
So so how did that come about? How did you guys meet? At a concert, or how did you guys actually meet?
Yes, it was at a concert. It was at a concert. I saw her for the first time in Clearwater, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and then Portsmouth, Virginia, and I actually got a chance to meet her in Detroit, Michigan. So
wow.
It was really something. Yeah.
Wow. That is really something. So let's talk about the scenario. Now, when I read it, I was like, oh, my goodness, it was just like, you know, it was really soft erotica in it, and then it was a little bit of, when I got to the end, I said, I could have never figured that out. You know, so it's a little teeny bit of mystery in it as well. How did you guys actually, you know, come together and do that?
Okay. All right. I call the scenario reality turns fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I have a girlfriend who has a group on blackplanet.com,
mm-hmm.
and she invited me to come over there. I met her on MySpace, and I was doing some blogging and whatnot, and she really liked what I wrote. So she wanted
mm-hmm.
me to join her group and write some things. And when I came on Black Planet, I had never been on there before, and a lot of different people were hitting me up talking about things and, you know, a bunch of nonsense. And then I met the Ebony Poet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always real excited when I meet another author or poet or
right.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked for a little while, and then he sent me a poem called Ice Cream.
Mm-hmm.
And ice cream is one of my favorite foods. And so I said, this guy is really cool. So I shared about the concert that I was supposed to go to and interview Anita Baker, which later the interview was canceled because of some problems or something that happened at the show, I think. But he shared with me some of his experiences with Anita, and then he just shot me this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a couple who had met online, and they decided to actually meet in person. And the choice was an Anita Baker concert.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what actually started the scenario going, which was originally called The Concert because it began with a concert. And he kept sending me the scenarios, and I would send it back. And I started, you know, not to really do too much. But it was really interesting, and it started becoming real fun. So we were going back and forth and back and forth. And he started sending his once a day, and I'd have to wait till the next day to read what he wrote in response to what I wrote. And before I know it, we had an actual book in our hands.
Wow. So can you tell us a little bit about the characters? You know, don't want to give too much away, but the characters, when the old lady, I think she was she 60?
She's in her 70s.
She was, oh, wow, okay. Well, she was up there. And, you know, how that, I think, I don't know if she was a reporter or what, but how they went up this stairwell, and she was out of breath, but the 70-year-old was still going. So
right,
how did you
right.
come about to develop a character like that, or did you know someone like that?
No, actually, when the concert was finished, it needed a little more. So I developed a scenario around the concert. And Lincoln Park is actually a real place. And it's a senior citizen high-rise. And
oh,
I don't know the character of Millie, just came to me. She's not really an actual person, but I have met some very interesting senior citizens, and that character came. And the freelance writer, which is Lee, that's something that I've often wanted to do, and it just seemed like a good way to get the story started, to have someone meet somebody that's really interesting and find out what their story of life is about. And that's where that came from.
Now, it was a scene in there that I read that kind of almost had me believing it when she said that she was a mermaid. And I said, oh, my goodness, because she said, I have something to tell you. And then when she said she was a mermaid, I said, oh, my goodness, you know, but it didn't turn out to be that. But it was just, you know, so interesting how that, you know, it was collaborated. It just seemed like you guys sat down next to each other and were passing these notes.
Right.
And, you know, you got it together like that. That's how
it was done. It was a pretty good chemistry. It was a lot of fun. And the crazy thing about it is we have never met.
Oh my goodness. I have never met
other than online when we were doing this story. Mm-hmm. And he's supposed to be poking his head in tonight. I hope he can make it.
Oh, wow. That's really... Go on, I'm sorry.
No, I just said that's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. To, you know, collaborate with someone and you've never met them. But, you know, that's pretty good that you guys could actually do that and then, you know, have a project out about it. And, you know, I'm quite sure it's doing very well, you know, because I definitely enjoyed it. And then the eroticism in it was really subtle. It was really, you know, the book, I believe, what age group do you put on that book?
Well, I guess because of the eroticism, I don't sell to anybody that's under 21. I'm kind of, the people that are actually buying the book are like in their early 30s on up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really enjoying the book. I'm getting some feedback and trying to encourage people to write reviews so that other people will know how it's, you know, that
right.
It's actually a very good book.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back and we'll be taking some questions and comments from the listening audience.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Mr. Coco Brown. Put your hands together.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you mean, lady? Well, I want you to really, you know, take much. I like you just the way you are naturally. Matter of fact, why don't you put on one of those lovely sunglasses that I bought you? That'll do it for me. Just pull your hair back. Take your shoes off. That's all I need. You know what I mean? Sundress. Take it out. Soul of your femininity fits you just like that dress. You see, I don't need to see your designer clothes, silk robes, or fishnet pantyhose. Cause to me, that sundress you wear is the next best thing to you naturally. Just about any color will do too. Cocoa, brown, or a light shade of blue if it's alright with you. Because to me, I just want to see the way it holds you, envelops you, teases your skin like the wind, enticing the hell out of me. Caressing you so close, but making you look so free. Sundress. Days, months, even millenniums after I saw you in that dress, images of your behind still danced in my mind. Leave a little imprints of the silhouette of you up against the horizon in that dress. Oh, this is real. You see, that parking lot might as well have been a field of daffodils, cause not one card in my mind let my eyes see. Just the sun, moon, brooks and streams, and the soul of your femininity. But not even an eclipse could have blinded me to that blissful face of nature's reality. As I stood watching you from the shadows, I was frozen still like a deer trapped in a car's headlights. Hey, lady, let me tell you how it was. All my actions ceased. So at least give the design of that dress the damn Nobel Peace Prize for the way that your thighs up against that dress brought a peace to the eyes of this mighty beast, Sundress. As you stood up on that balcony, I reached for you as I fell to my knees, and in a soft, trembling voice, I beg God, please, please, please let Mother Nature send me a gentle breeze. Let it flow swiftly from the evening skies past my rise and lift that dress ever so gently from her thighs. Ooh, 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 I'd like to thank that north wind that blew. Quenching my imagination's thirst is the wind. Her hair and that dress played a three-part harmony, singing beautiful chords in the key of L to my mind. Senses heightened, I'm as light as a May cloud, pulsating like a summer brook. Hot as 2 o'clock in a Florida July, and that sundress that you wear is why. Can me and you, you and I be one together with nature? Hell, I could be cool as the wind. Matter of fact, I could be that breeze that flows from the evening skies, gently lifts that dress from your knees and touches your thighs. Or I could be the water in that thunderstorm that gets you and your dress wet yet makes you feel warm. Or I could be the sun in that dress that touches your moons and sets the light of fire to this dark room. Or even better yet, if with me, Coco Brown, you impress, hey, could I just be that sundress? Forget the rest of your wardrobe, you won't need any other clothes. You can wear different shades of me, Coco Brown, rain, sleet, hail, or snow. Can I be your sundress? Would you wear me as I envelop your soul? Caress your mind, tease your skin just like that wind. My hands like that cotton blend on your hips. My lips like the ends of your garments as I dip to kiss your knees. My presence making you feel as free as hummingbirds above the trees. Everywhere I go, you could wear me. Cause with our minds, souls, and bodies intertwined in these fields of posies and dandelions, your earth, your wind, your water, your fire, I could be. If just like that dress, lady, you choose to wear me. I'm Coco Brown from the Fat Cat.
Coco Brown and the Fat Cat Band, Sundress. I really like that piece. So, Imagery,
yes.
You also do spoken word as well, right?
That's right.
Now, this is something that has always been on my mind. My memory don't last but a minute. So, how do you... How do you get up and perform in front of people and remember every word, or at least most of the words? Because I know ever so often you may forget a word or two, but how do you do that? Because when I write poems, but I would have to read mine off. It's no way. When I was in school, we had to memorize poems, and I just got so full of memorizing this and memorizing that until I think that little part of me has been cut off. But how do you retain all that information, or do you just go over it and over it and over it, or is it just natural?
No, it's not natural. I actually have tracks that I make. I have one that I rehearse with myself on the track, and then I have one that's just the background music that I practice with, so I just keep going back and forth, back and forth.
Okay.
And that's how I actually learn it.
Oh, because I'm just saying, I would really like, wish that I could do that, because I have, you know, some poems, but I probably could do it on the poems that I have, but some, you know, spoken word artists, they have these long, long, you know, speeches that they speak of, and, you know, it really sounds good, you know, and I commemorate any spoken word artist, anybody that can get up there and, you know, say every little word, or, you know, even if they miss a word or two, that's really to be commemorated. You know, it really is. And what would you tell somebody, for instance, myself, if I
right.
wanted to really go into being a spoken word artist? How would I go about doing that?
Well, make your first objective to have fun. Just have fun. And as far as remembering, you just repeat, repeat, practice, practice, practice. And it's just like learning anything. If you sing a song enough times, you're going to know the words by heart.
Right.
And if you keep going over your material, you'll know it by heart. And if you miss a beat or something, just keep going because the audience, you know, they'll never know. And when you perform, it's not always the same way. So they don't know if they if they're familiar with your work, they don't know if you decided to switch it up or what. You just, you know, keep it flowing.
Okay. We have a couple of people with their hands up. I'm going to bring one of the listeners in. 786, you have a question or comment for Soimetry?
Yes, I do. This is the One Essence. How are you ladies doing tonight?
Hi, Essence.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm tired. It's been a long week, but I had to be here. I want to tell Soimetry congratulations. And from what I hear, it's a great book.
Yes, it most definitely is. Most
Thank
definitely. You,
you
know, because like I had spoken about it. Pardon?
Oh, I was just saying, I was teasing. I read the book. It's an amazing book. I found myself really getting mad at Lauren. And I think I'm still mad at Lauren, but I'm not gonna give the story away. But there was one point when I was like, "Oh, she is getting on my nerves. She needs to stop playing." for real. And then,
well,
you know,
that means it's a good book to me because when you're talking back to a book,
I was like. She don't deserve him. Mm-mm. She don't deserve him. I was pissed. Like I said, I think I'm still pissed with Lauren. I think, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
your boy was a little.
Yeah, she was just a little bit too much. But I was really kind of sad when how they did split up like that, you know. But that's the way it goes.
It wasn't Troy's fault. Yeah, it wasn't Troy's fault. I'm just speaking up for Troy. It wasn't his fault.
Oh, I know. I know it wasn't Troy's fault. Yeah.
But
it was definitely.
Is that real back there?
Yeah.
Hey, girl, how you doing? I'm just listening. I just wanted to call in and tell you guys I absolutely love the book. And I wish Soimetry, you know, all the success that's coming to her because she's an amazing artist, period. She's an author now, and then she also has a spoken word, which I love, and of course everyone by now should know my favorite Soimetry track. Break my Kool-Aid.
Break my Kool-Aid.
That should be the mommy's national anthem right there. So I love me some Soimetry. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to listen. You know, I might, you know, if you don't mind, interject every now and again, but I love me some Soimetry, and Who Drank My Kool-Aid is my jam, and now the scenario is my book. But I have to say, I'm still ticked with Lauren. I think it needs a sequel or something to you know, so I can get over it or something.
Yeah. Right.
It's interesting.
Right. Have you thought of writing
not
a sequel?
Actually, the Ebony Poet approached me about a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're considering it.
But let me just say this. I get in trouble with the One Essence every time I start talking about her. But she's part of the publishing team. The book was published under Safe Haven Publishing with Michelle Green. And Essence gets on me every time I elaborate on that. So that's all I'm going to say right now because I don't want to hear it. When I hang up. But it's an awesome publishing company.
Wow. Okay, so we have another.
As far as her CD, I put it on. And one of the things I love doing is when somebody come in my office and they come in my office to talk to me and it's playing in the background. And then they hear certain names. Who is that? listen, just listen. Just listen. And then when I tell them, they end up going on Reverb Nation to hear some more, and they end up playing her. And I just find that hilarious because everybody loves those two. The Burnt Catfish and Who Drank My Kool-Aid, they fall out.
Maybe we can get to hear that tonight from So Imagery. We have another caller. I'm going to bring this other caller in. 252, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And yourself? You have a question or comment for So Imagery?
I have a comment for So Imagery. That book was the most wonderful. It was the hottest book I had read in a long, long, long time. It was one of those, I started reading the book, and I said, well, I'll glance through a couple of pages just to see, you know, how the book is. I could not put the book down until I finished
wow.
the whole book. I could not put it down. I found myself inside of the book. So, and I couldn't put it down because just like the caller before me had stated about Lauren, you know, I was like, what's going on with this lady? So, you know, but it was amazing. The whole story was just something that I could visualize. And I could see
right.
that book being a movie or something. You know, I would love to hear more about it and just follow up with more because it was just wonderful. It was a hot book. That book had me
was.
And my husband had to put the kids to bed early.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It was a very nice book. We loved it. We enjoyed it. It was very good. So I hope to hear more. You know, I hope that, you know, there's more to come because we will be more than happy to see more of it.
Mm-hmm.
We love Swimmetry anyway, and our favorite is Who Burnt My Fish. So that's what Who Burnt My Fish is always just so live, and it's just, you know, you get to where you get kind of nervous. Okay, well, make sure I get that order right.
Wow.
it's just wonderful. We enjoy all of her work. It's fascinating just how she does everything. She's very gifted, very talented, and the more we hear, the more we love. We just want to send our love support out to her this evening.
Wow. Bless Thank you, caller. Thank you.
You are welcome.
We have another caller. 512, are you there?
Hello?
Yes. You have a question or comment for So Imagery?
Actually, this is the Ebony Poet.
Well, hello. How are you?
I've been on hold, couldn't get in the call, been enjoying the interview.
Wow. Well, that story that you guys put together. Right, that story is definitely a bestseller as far as I'm concerned. It really is. And how you guys put it together is really, it's amazing to me because, you know, like she had mentioned, you guys never met and you basically did, I guess, everything over the phone or through emails or however you did it, but you did get it together and it's done. And it's a wonderful piece.
Actually, through emails because tonight is the first time I've ever heard her voice.
Wow. That is really amazing. You know, y'all need to do a story as far as I wrote a book with somebody and never saw them. That would be something. I mean, you know, it's really, you know, that's the best thing about technology, how you could actually hook up with somebody via the internet or over the phone or over a smartphone, you know, and get things done. Thank goodness for technology.
Yes.
So how do you feel about the book, Ebony Poet? How do you feel about it?
Well, when she told me she was working on publishing it, I shook my head, you know, that hey, this will never make it. And but she was persistent. And so when I finally read the finished version, I mean, it blew me away. I was like, what? So
wow.
And I must congratulate her because she wrapped it up and the story with the old lady going up the stairs and
mm-hmm.
hooked it up, and so it was, she did a great job on that. But I was surprised and well pleased.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, both of you guys did a dynamic job on it, both of you. You know, so, you know, both of you deserve the credit for it. And, you know, like I had mentioned, it was a wonderful book, just wonderful. I really enjoyed reading it, you know. Everything just flowed. You know, it just flowed. And, you know, like I also had mentioned, it just seemed like you guys were sitting right next to each other. Well, I'm going to write this, I'm going to write this, and then we'll put this together, you know. But, like, you guys are basically just hearing each other's voices for the first time tonight, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The way we wrote it is that, you know, I would put a scenario out there, and she would respond to it, and I would respond to her. We had no idea where either one was going with it, and it was just a natural flow.
Wow. Well, you guys put it together. That's a fact. You definitely put it together. And what advice would you give to someone if they wanted to do what you and So Imagery did?
My first advice is to hook up with someone like her who would really make the thing successful. Just be persistent, that's all.
Mm-hmm. At any point when you were sending your scripts back and forth, did you ever think that, you know, what she was going to say to respond to that?
No, I never had any idea what she was going to say.
Wow. Did you, So Imagery, have any idea what she was going to say or what he was going to say when he responded back?
No, I actually didn't. It just kind of flowed naturally. And
wow.
And what I like about it is by it being from a man and a woman, it made it more real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the things I was going to say, I'm really excited because we're actually going to get a chance to meet, and we're going to go to one of the places that's in the book, and we're going to
wow.
do a little publicity. We're going to get to meet the owner of one of the restaurants in the book and to take some pictures, and I'm really excited about that.
Mm. Wow. Now, that's really nice. That's nice. I'm telling you guys need to write a book. I'm telling you about, I wrote a book with somebody.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because, you know, it's really amazing how you guys did that, you know, and how it flowed, and it the storyline is just, it's really something. And like I said, getting to the end of it, I was really blown away. I was blown away at the end. Really. And then for you guys to do that, that's really something.
It was a lot of fun. And we're actually trying to get a hold of somebody to have it actually turned into a screenplay for a movie. You know, just like the ending. So hopefully that'll work out.
Wow. Now that, you know, because I could actually see, you know, different, well, I could actually see it in a movie in my head, the action that was going on. You know, I could actually see it. I could see when they were making love and at the concert and, when she thought that, when she was thinking that he was married, and, you know, I could just see all that. I could actually see all that. And to do a play about it would really be good. Really be good. So we're going to take another little break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
As a lamb, if you had the strength.
Guest this evening is So Immature. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The phone number is 646-652-2877. And the Ebony Poet is here as well. Okay, So Immature, everybody's talking about your CD, Who Drank My Kool-Aid and Who Burnt My Catfish. Grace us with those or one of those pieces. And also would like to get you to read an excerpt from your book.
Well, actually, I had asked the Ebony Poet if he would do that honor of reading something. Hopefully he'll be able to do that.
You say he won't be able to do it?
I said hopefully he will be able to do that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, actually, I'm on a trip, and I didn't really bring anything with me to read, but so I'll listen to whatever she reads.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
so imagery?
As far as Who Drank My Kool-Aid or Who Burned the Fish, those are tracks that will be in the new CD, that hopefully will be coming out sometime, either the end of this year or the beginning of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing that I can really perform over the, you know, over the radio.
Oh, okay. Well, what about from your first CD?
No, that's more spoken word.
Yeah, that's spoken word with music as well. Well, I don't actually have. What I should have done was sent you some tracks that you could have played. Yeah.
I have a caller with their hand up. Let's see what they have to say before you go into that. Caller 786, are you there?
Yes, I am. And this is the One Essence again.
And both of them are being incredibly shy. You know what's going on here, right, Delicious? You know what's going on. They're trying to get out of reading.
He
wants
her to read.
She wants him to read. He wants her to read. They're trying to get out of reading. That's what they're trying to do. You know I am, right? You know that's why I call back in, because it's not going down like this.
I love it.
So I can read something because I'm paging through it right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have no shame in it because they up here trying to be shy. What is that?
Yeah, I love it.
Get them.
Hello, one
of them. Hi, Ebony Poet. How are you this evening?
Fantastic.
Okay. Well, let's see. I love the whole book. So, I think what I'll do is I'll read maybe part of, not the whole first chapter, but how about when they met, when Troy met Lauren?
Right, that'll work.
Okay. When Troy met Lauren, from the scenario. This is Troy's voice. Lauren and I were meeting in Midtown Manhattan for an Anita Baker concert. We had been talking to each other online, and we both loved Anita. So when the tickets fell into my hands, I thought it would be a perfect first date. I parked in the lot across from Carnegie Hall and walked to the spot where we had agreed to meet. As I approached, I could see she was wearing a very sexy dress with an empire waist. It came just above her knees and showed some sexy legs. Once we were seated, we chatted, getting to know each other better since we were now face-to-face. As I leaned over to talk to Lauren, I picked up a very nice fragrance and her hair that had just been shampooed, like coconut oil or something. Her makeup was light but accentuated all of her facial features. Anita began her set by telling the audience that she had a special guest who had started a fan club on Ning.com, and we'll be interviewing at her after the concert. The house lights were dimmed and the music started. We wanted to stand in the aisles and dance to her music. We were swaying in rhythm. All of our favorite songs were hit, and the mood turned completely romantic. As Lauren got more and more excited, the hem of her dress began to ride up her thighs, and the view was magnificent. When Anita did her special number, Sweet Love, she was dressed in this long black dress that hid some of the curves of her body. The stage light dimmed and she was backlit. The light went right through that dress and her shapely body was silhouetted. I lost it. I became as hard as Superman's belt buckle, as did all the men and a good portion of the women in the audience. The bulge in the crotch of my slacks was very visible. Lauren looked down and noticed it, smiled and said, "To be continued by Lauren." I looked up from the book, Millie, when Lauren met Troy, I looked up from the book, Millie was actually blushing now. "Wow," I said a little embarrassed, "when you read this, what did you do?" Millie took a seat across from me at the table as if she wanted to see my reaction to every word. What else could I do? I was shocked. Was I shocked? Yes, I was. But for whatever reason, I just joined and continued the story. He would write some, and then I would write some, and it went on for days. We played what I call scenario tag, and it was so much fun. Please continue. That was it. I mean, that's all I'm reading.
Right, I know. But, you know, what I'm so intrigued about is how that, I can't think of her name. Millie and the freelance writer, how she's telling her the story and how Troy and Lauren are, I mean, it's just the way that it was just put together. I just can't, you know, it's amazing.
A couple stories within one story.
Right,
and it
that's
was
what
amazing
I'm saying.
How the chemistry, you know, I would have thought that this was written by one person. But when I found out, you know, the voice of the male in the story, Troy, was actually written by a man, I'm like, wow, this is going to be good because we're getting both sides of the story. And, you know, in reality, two people always see the one thing differently. There's always a different take on the same, you know, scene. And so in this book, we get it. We get it. We get the both sides of the story.
Wow. And that, and then, oh, my goodness, I just can't get over how it just flowed and then, you know, came to the end like it did. The end, to me, the end was so intriguing. It was really intriguing how it ended. And for you guys to collaborate, that was really amazing.
It intensified towards the end for me because, as I said earlier, I was already upset. So, of course, the mystery at the end, you know, it intensified the reading of the story to me, and I was anxious to find out, you know, the mystery. You know, I wanted to know what was going to happen because there was a couple of times there I thought something and totally opposite happened.
Right. I was feeling the same way because when it got down there, I said, oh, my goodness. That was definitely really a nice love story, nice little erotic love story with the twist.
You know, and do you want to hear some inside stuff? Because Soul Imagery is being so shy. But when we were working on the editing of this book, she wanted to take that erotica stuff out. She was changing words. And I'm like, you know what? This don't even sound right. You can't use that word. Please change it back. Please, please. Well, no, I don't talk like that, but this is not you. This is a story. Can you please change it back? We went on like that for about a couple days, and finally she agreed. She changed some words, but she pretty much left it the way it was.
Why? Because basically, like I said, it's a book that I think an 18-year-old could, you know, actually read that book because the eroticism in it wasn't graphic and it wasn't, you know, it was real subtle and it really left something to the imagination.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way you really want, that's romance, you know, everything is not right in your face, you know.
Right.
It was subtle and it was romantic, it was sweet, it was, you know, corny, and that's how romance is. It can be corny sometimes.
And I really enjoyed the word, the velvet triangle.
Ooh-wee.
I said, oh, that's a new one that I'm going to use one time or two. That was really some, the velvet triangle. You know, that just sounds so, it sounds sexy to me, you know, to refer to a woman's body part as a velvet triangle. Because it is shaped like a triangle now.
Now, the man wrote that part. Nobody don't have to tell me that. I can feel that already.
I have a question for the Ebony Poet, if you don't mind. I want to know, once you have the finished product in your hand, when you read the complete story, what were your first thoughts?
My first thought was relief because knowing that parts of the story were erotic, you know, let's face it, I'm a Baptist deacon living in Texas, and I thought I would be ridden out of town on a rail or something.
We couldn't find you.
I wasn't quite sure that I'd still be alive today. So I was convinced that some of the erotica was edited out, as I recall. So I'm thankful for that. But I was, you know, my first reaction was, wow, this is pretty good.
Pretty good, huh?
Wow.
It was definitely
Oh,
nice.
Another layer.
Can I tell something funny?
Yeah.
When the book was first finished, we were like, you know, what are we going to do with this? I didn't want anybody to know my real name. I was going to hide, and I was talking to the publisher, Michelle, and I was like, people can't know that I'm affiliated with this book because they'll bring me up, you know, And it was just so funny, and the Evie Horn and I were talking about what names we were going to actually put on the book as the authors, and, you know, he, because he is a deacon, he really didn't want to use his name, and I'm actually affiliated with the Children's Church Ministry, so I didn't want to use my name. So Esther came up with the idea that I should publish under Telemetry. And the Ebony Poet decided he wanted to use his literary name, the Ebony Poet, and that's what you'll see on the cover of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So we were
and that's a light version. That, yeah, that's the light version, because she was really lamenting over, you know, my name's going to be on this. I got to take those parts out. You know, I mean, I was like, oh, my goodness, she is trying to ruin a good book. I mean,
Like
you said, Delicious, it's not erotica. I mean, if you had to put it in a pornographic sense, you know, it's not even soft porn. It's light porn, you know. All grown-ups know what those acronyms mean. So it wasn't one of those really obnoxious pornographic stories. And she was stressing and stressing, and I'm like, look, this is not you. This is not your story, okay? We got to separate that. You're a writer. You write about different things. This is not an aspect of how you raise your children, what goes on in your house. It's just a story. We went through, I mean, she was upset, but we got her calmed down, and she agreed to use soy imagery, and I was like, ooh, thank you, Jesus, because she was getting ready to ruin this book.
Wow. That's something.
Let me share with you the poem about the ice cream cone. I wrote that from something that really happened. I was on a business trip to Boston, and I had to fly back to New York to do a presentation. And there was this young lady at the airport in the gate lounge waiting on her flight, too. And she was licking an ice cream cone. And so the imagery formed in my mind. And as soon as I got home, I started writing. And it took me maybe 15, 20 minutes to write the poem. And as a matter of fact, I went on to write a whole chapbook of soft erotic poetry that I call Surrender that I sold locally. And that was the flagship poem for it.
Wow.
And I had no idea that she was an ice cream freak. So sharing that with her was just happenstance.
Wow.
I want to say one more thing, and then I'm going to shut up, because the scene he just described of the young lady eating the ice cream, that actually happened to me once, and I was so upset. Because I was out with my girlfriends, and I just bought this ice cream cone, vanilla chocolate swirl. You know, I'm getting ready to get my ice cream on. I'm out, you know, everybody, I'm just licking the ice cream, enjoying it, lick after lick. And I look up, and this man is watching me. And I'm, you know, not moving my mouth, but I said to my girlfriend, is he really watching me eat this ice cream cone? And she started laughing, like, girl, how naive are you? And so since I knew he was watching me, I took that ice cream cone and I put every bit of it in my mouth, and he turned blood red and turned around and walked away. And I spit that ice cream out my nose. I was laughing so hard. I was like, oh, pervert. Anyway, I just had to share that.
Was that you in that airport lounge?
No, this was in the airport, thank goodness.
Well, it can be quite erotic when a woman is eating an ice cream cone and a man is watching, you know.
Obviously. Obviously.
And especially if you're doing that for your man, that could really be something erotic. You know, you get an ice cream cone and you and your man are sitting there on the couch or in the park or whatever, and you just go to town on that ice cream cone. That's called foreplay, okay? When you get home.
I was getting down on that ice cream. It was so good, you know, and I didn't speak. you know, anybody was looking, and we just talking, and I'm just licking, and I was getting down. And my best friend thought it was so funny because I was so upset. It was a hilarious scene after the fact when he walked away, but when the thought first hit me, I was upset. I couldn't enjoy my ice cream like I wanted to no more.
Wow. That is really crazy.
And that poem is in the book as well.
I know. I think I did read it. Yeah. I think I did.
Well, Ebony, wow. Are you going to read it?
Oh, no, I was just telling you about it.
Well, Esther, you have the book. Why don't you read it?
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Moving around the house. You want me to read? What page is it on, Symmetry?
It's in the back with the story behind the story.
Okay. Give me a sec. I'll find it. Okay, let's see here. Soimetry, works of Soimetry.
On page 120.
Oh, okay, I'm all on 133. Okay. Well, if you got it, Soimetry, come on now.
I was wondering where you going to pick up on that.
What in the world? It's titled...
You do it so well, you may have the honor of reading.
I'm not understanding this shy stuff, and neither one of them seems to be too shy, especially Mr. Ice Cream Man over there. Okay, here we go, the first time. It was Boston Logan. You were sitting there eating an ice cream cone, shoes off, feet up. I watched you from afar. You were confident in your look, or either you didn't care. Haircut short, tailored suit, expensive shoes cast aside, focusing on the ice cream cone. Your tongue caressed the sweetness. Your mouth accepted it graciously. Your eyes slid back in pleasure. Your lips surrounded the creamy ooze. Ooh, what happened to the AC? The redness of your lips against the whiteness of the cream, droplets in the corner of your mouth, tongue darting to prevent the escapees. Your hand was wrapped around that cone. You held it with tender care, your fingertips caressing the ridges while inhaling the aroma of the cream. Then your tongue flicked around the cone, catching the melting ooze, retrieving it for your waiting mouth, swallowing it sensually and smiling. Toes curled as your tongue encircled the cone, you sucked the cream as you quashed your legs. I thought I heard a moan of delight as you touched your lips to the tip. Your appetite grew, and you opened your mouth, inserted the cone into your mouth. You squeezed the sides of the confection, and you gave up the prize. This was the first time I saw you. Oh, my gosh! Was that what I did? Wait, now.
Wow.
Wow, that didn't have one erotic word in it, but that was an erotic poem. That
wow.
was an erotic poem for those of us who have seen our thoughts.
Well, you know, they say that lovemaking is in the mind, so that poem is meant to have your mind work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It definitely works somebody's mind. Trust and believe that.
Successful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't eat ice cream in public anymore, just so you guys know.
Wonder why.
Wow. Well, you know what? I would do it just to get somebody off.
Ooh.
Trouble.
Evil.
Well, you know, they want to watch. I give them something to watch.
True to that name, Delicious.
I'll give them something to watch now.
Yeah, because she was the woman in that poem was actually giving somebody something to watch. And you know, I've been in that position before. You know, at least she didn't catch it, Ebony Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
One essence, I think you're one of those women my mama warned me about.
No, that's delicious. That's not me. That's delicious.
No, I said I would give them something to watch. You want to watch? Okay, watch.
I had that moment where, you know, like I said, I put that whole, you know how they make the ice cream cone? They don't just put, they do the swirl into the little tip. When I threw that back, I did it on purpose. I knew what I was doing.
Give us something to watch.
That was hilarious.
But I didn't. I've never done that again.
Right. Someone in the chat once said one day they actually noticed a man watching them putting their lipstick on. She first put on the base coat first in two different colors, but the man sat in his car next to me in the parking lot for nearly 5 minutes watching me putting on my lipstick.
Wow.
And I put down, he was getting his freak on. You know, men are just so visual, and it's just different little things that'll turn a man on, you know, watching somebody put their lipstick on, you know. It just gives them a little thrill, you know, so... You want to see me put my lipstick on, too? All right, baby. Here it is.
Thank you, Silver. Told you.
Well, that means I'll have to write a poem about a woman putting lipstick on there.
There it goes. Yes. Watch out, Penelope.
Yeah, it's really something how, you know, men are just turned on by different things. But it's a good thing, you know, especially if it's your partner. You know, it's just so many things you can do to turn him on, putting your lipstick on, putting your stockings on, taking them off, and putting on your nightgown, taking it off. And, you know, it's just so many little things you can do to turn your man on. And I'm all about turning my man on.
In this book, Troy pulled out all the stops, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. In the shower, you know, she says, I'm a mermaid. That really tripped me out, too, that part, because she said, I got something to tell you. And I said, oh, my God, I hope she's not going to tell him that she was a man turned into a woman. I said, please don't let it be that. Please, please. Then she said she was a mermaid. Then I said, oh, my goodness, she's a mermaid? But, you know, the story was definitely, it really had my interest.
She forgot to leave that smoking part out when she was ready. You a mermaid. You get me all ready for some juicy stuff, and you say you a mermaid. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Jamila, I have some issues I'd like to talk to her about. But Troy pulled out all the stops. I just thought it was an incredible. You know, romance novels tend to be, you know, today's romance novels tend to get on the bit edgy side. They're more porn than romance. And this was a real romance novel story.
Yes, it was. It most definitely was. And I recommend that you guys out there listening to pick up the book, The Scenario. It's a book that you will not regret reading. As a matter of fact, you may not be able to put it down once you start reading it.
I'm going to recommend it to my book club.
Right.
Even
do that.
I haven't read it yet.
Right. It's definitely a good book.
I got some bones to pick with you, but that's all right. We can talk about that another time. But anyway. Okay. So, Imogen, you're so quiet. What is going on? So, Imogen?
I'm tripping on you guys. I'm really tripping.
Well, do you have a piece that you would like to recite?
Well,
okay, listen, you done beat that over the head. She ain't going to do that.
I'm trying to tell you. That's why I'm just quiet, because I'm not reading anymore.
She'll get up next time.
Oh, okay. We have we have a call on the line. Let me see. What number is it? Okay, maybe this one. Okay, 615, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Hi there, next level. Everybody, this is the next level. He's a spoken word artist as well. How you been?
I've been doing good, love. How you been?
Fantastic. You got a question or comment?
Oh, no, you know, I was just listening in. You know, y'all kind of swimming in my neck of the woods or my depth of the water. You know what I mean? So I just kind of, and if I could learn something or something, you know, pick up a few pointers or something.
I'm out of an exhibition profession. That was enough.
Well, it's to, you know, watch how a woman moves her mouth and her tongue and her lips and closes her eyes and gets off into it. So, you know me, I'm an observer too as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Ebony Poet, let me ask you, what was your inspiration when you were writing from Troy's point of view? Where did you get the things, you know, where did you draw that character from, his actions?
Well, you know, I write from images, and when I say images, I observe a lot of things, just like the caller. And when those
mm-hmm.
things fall in my mind, then I have to write. I mean, it's like a proverbial fire shelter in my bones. When it gets there, I have to put it on paper. And so when I would get the scenario in my email, that would fire me up, and my mind would race to find answers to it or replies to it. And so it was truly a fuel for the fire. It was like throwing gasoline on a fire, and I wrote very easily from it.
Wow.
And so,
your mic is open.
Yes.
So, yes. Hello?
Where did you draw Lauren from?
Well, actually, when the Ebony Poet, the initial scenario, I got this this image in my mind of a couple at the concert, and it was very, very romantic. So I thought of the most romantic thing that I could, and that was my natural response, and it was so easy to respond to what he was saying. You could see it play in your mind, and it was like a fantasy, and you would write, and this is how it would go if it was real and whatever. So that's where Lauren's character came from.
You got that right.
When we initially did it, we used our own names because it wasn't supposed to be a book. It was just like just some fun. And I started getting into a whole lot of trouble where people were actually, the ones that I shared with, they were actually thinking that it was me. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't working. And my husband started tripping. So we had to change the names. We had to change the names. To kind of distance ourselves from it. And that's where Lauren and Troy came from.
Wow.
Well, I certainly think it's a wonderful romance novel. I enjoyed the, the lovemaking scenes, but I really enjoyed the way, you know, the characters, Lauren and Troy, interacted with each other. I like their chemistry. They were both full of surprises. And I enjoyed Millie, too, because that's the old lady you always make friends with in the neighborhood, you know? And that's where I always say, behind every ordinary woman is an extraordinary life. And she's the ordinary woman that if you don't take the time to speak to her, you'd never know her story and you'd miss out, you know?
Mm.
Oh, my God.
So Emetree, what are you up to these days? What is your next project?
Well, I have a children's book that's coming out, and there's a possibility that there will be a scenario part two, and we're working on a new CD. And when I was saying that, you know, the book was written 3 years ago.
Oh,
and
okay.
At that time, I was married. It caused a lot of problems. A lot of problems. That's how realistic it is.
Wow.
I have a new friend that I'm getting to know, and hopefully he'll do some inspiration for the new CD. And, you know. So,
where can they purchase your book and your CD?
Well, I have a website, www.sowomenfree.com. They can go to the scenario, the book section, and they can purchase a book. They can go to the Sweet Surrender section and purchase a CD, or they can buy different tracks. We have an event page that's going to be telling the things that are coming, you know. And that's
okay.
The best place. It's also on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. If you like ebook, you can get it from Kindle.
Oh, okay. So it's on Kindle. Okay, that's really good. So do you have any book signings coming up or...
Well, we actually got the publicity material, and it would be really great if Ebony Poet and I could do some book signings together. But we don't have any scheduled right now, but I think that's on the One Essence's agenda for things to do in the near future. Yeah.
we're working on it. We're working on it.
Yeah.
I just heard that. No, we're hopefully, what we really are trying to work out right now is a book launch party. The book was actually open, available for purchase on the 4th of July, and there was a book release party scheduled, but we ran into some conflict with the venue. So what we're trying to do now is reschedule that. And then get ourselves in some book signings.
Oh, okay. I'll give a shout-out to
book club and you, if you're a book club and you're interested in having Sowimetry or the Ebony Poet at your event, after you've read the book, for questions answered, please email Sowimetry. Or you can email me. Or you can email Michelle Green. And find us on Safe Haven Publishing. We have email addresses. Hit us up. She'll be there.
Okay, Essence, you want to put your stuff in the chat room so people can pick it up. And we're sort of like winding down to the end of the show.
Okay.
Very, very interesting show. So, Imagery, I'm going to have you come back, you and Ebony Poet, again, when you do that sequel. Or when your next CD come out,
all right.
You know, I'm definitely going to look forward to that. I'm going to give a shout-out to the chat room guest, 12296, Penelope Flynn, The Next Level, The Number One Essence, Miss Kane was there, and Don Calypso, The Little Flies on the Wall. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. And I appreciate you for coming out.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Most definitely. I definitely do appreciate you coming out and, you know, sharing with everybody out there listening, you know, the little journey you and Ebony Poet took putting this book together. And everybody who hasn't read the scenario, I suggest you go to Sowimetry's website and read her website, I guess, sign her guest book and pick up her book. You will not regret it. I'm telling you, the book is well worth it.
I want to add that on Sowimetry.com, there is an excerpt. I think we put the entire first chapter on her website. It's a great little flip book click on it. Mm-hmm. It's full screen size. You can read the first chapter. And then please don't just read the first chapter. I know you're going to want to click that Buy Now PayPal button at the bottom, please.
Right. So with that being said, everybody, thanks for coming out. Thanks, Rhea, darling. Thanks, Essen. So Imagery, Ebony Poet, and everybody who called in. Next Level, it was a pleasure hearing from you. I'm going to give you a call.
All right.
Okay, so with that being said, everybody have a beautiful weekend. See you guys back here next week. I haven't put up the topic to my show, but during the week I will. But I'm on every Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. When I do my musical shows, I'm on at 10:30. I also have 4 books published. My website is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com. Go check out my website, sign my guest book, and purchase my books. So
hello?
Everybody have a hello?
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 Hi. Hi, yes. I was trying to comment before you left. I guess I was having trouble with my phone before the end of the show. Yeah, but I just wanted to again just say that we really enjoyed the show. It was wonderful. We enjoyed all of the talented things from Soarimetry and the Ebony Poet. It was just wonderful. And this is Cheyenne Deidre. We just wanted to send our shouts out and our love out.
Oh, okay. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. Look forward to talking next time.
Good night.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, guys. Good night. Have a beautiful
Bye-bye.
Weekend.
Same to you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.